Yeah, so Josh, we his dad has rodents coming in from the field, okay,
Oh, no way
in his
this
new
is
house.
going.
Bowen's brought a night sight. First of all, he asked in one of the chats that we're in, disc golf chats, does anybody own a night sight for a gas powered air rifle?
As a matter of fact,
Surprisingly, nobody did. So he's ended up buying one. And I said to him on the weekend, I said, "This is why you got no money." I said, How much is this? 200 quid? And he goes, "More." And it's just he's never going to use it. This
well.
isn't this isn't this is another pickaxe. This is another rock picking. What they called?
What do you mean?
What's those fossil hunting things that you brought?
Estwing.
Yeah, the S-wing rock picking thing. There's another one of them. A night sight for an air rifle. Put this into the category of wasted money.
He's a man of many talents.
Exactly.
He's got. I would go as far as saying he's got all the gear, but none of the idea. And that's a cliched saying, but I feel like that couldn't fit more accurately.
I honestly am kind of jealous of that situation. I feel like I could start a rodent hunting business with you, Bowen.
Thank you, Josh. I've had my gun for a few years now. I paid 600 quid for it, so it's not a cheap one. You've got to pump it up. It's not like one of the crappy canister ones. You've got to pump it up. It's got a big air canister, and it's got like a 10-shot magazine, so it's a proper real deal. And I had a good scope on it, but it's only a day scope, so I can't see in the dark, and the rats don't like it when the lights are on. So what's a logical move?
I was gonna ask, is shooting rats the most efficient way to get rid of them?
Yes, shall I tell you why?
Yes.
Don't want to put poison down because it might kill other animals like hedgehogs and things.
Owls, once they eat the dead rat, if it wanders off and dies.
There we go, exactly. So I'm
Yeah.
doing it properly. And I get rid of wasp nests for fun. I've got rid of hornets' nests. I might as well start a pest removal thing.
How do you do the wasps and hornets?
Depends. I've got different tactics for
A
different
baseball bat.
scenarios.
If
The best one, do you want to
it
know?
just goes in with a baseball
The best one I ever did was it was in my mate's shed and it was in the corner. It was attached to the ceiling. I got a bin bag. I made this up myself, and someone's done the exact same thing on YouTube about 3 years later. So we got his.
But died after it.
Do you know what a chimnere is?
Yeah.
Chimney,
yeah.
Yeah, so he got that going. I got a bin bag round the wasp's nest, broke it off the ceiling, tied a knot in it, and we put it in the chimney.
And none of them escaped.
No, because they're in the bin bag.
But then it, I
It's
guess, yeah.
slow cooks them. It's a bit like, you know, the boil in the bag chickens that you get
Yeah.
from Sainsbury's. It's a bit like that, but with wasps.
Delicious. I don't like to kill animals just for the sake of it. I only kill them if there's a reason. And wasps are bad. He's got his kids in the garden. I believe every living creature should have the chance to live. Do you know? I don't kill spiders. I don't kill flies. Don't kill anything like that. But if something's a problem, I think it's fine to get rid of. Let me just throw. I'm not just take fun in killing things. But I am the man
No.
that if you've got a wasp nest, I'll get in your loft and crawl into the corner and spray it.
If you have pests of any kind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with the shooting, I draw a line
That sounded pretty ominous, didn't it? I'll crawl into your loft and I will get rid of it.
With the shooting,
That's the
I'll only shoot rats. I don't shoot any other animals.
tagline. I'm just thinking you could have that on the side of your van, couldn't you? I will crawl into
Sometimes they're hard to get
Oh,
to.
tickle.
They're tucked away in the eaves sometimes. You've just got to do it.
Is he still up there?
Yeah,
he's been up there a week.
Oh, just quick story. My dad and I, when we were kids, our church had like a double-wide trailer next to it that we used as a school. And the siding was off like the bottom. You know, the panels that cover the wheels? Yeah. Make it look like a house. So that part was gone. So a cat had crawled up in the insulation up under this trailer and died. And for like a week, we could smell this just rotten carcass and no one knew where it was. So my dad and I volunteered to hunt this thing out. And we found this like decayed old crappy cat in the insulation. He'd burrowed himself in there and just died. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Have you ever seen it when they put like fish inside the bonnet of a car? So it comes all in through hot air traps.
I've had a buddy at work put a dead fish under my truck seat for my work truck on a hot summer day. Oh, that wasn't nice. Yeah.
I used to have a consultant, my old work, who cooked kippers occasionally in the microwave. And he got, after the second time, he got told, like, you can't cook them in here. It's ridiculous.
Is that the canned?
It was, like, literally.
Nah, kippers.
No, it's like, it's just like a small, smelly fish. I don't really know. They have them for breakfast a lot. Posh people do. But it absolutely stunk. But it was like, it must have been for about 4 or 5 days. You couldn't get the smell out, and it's like, it's horrific.
People will do that on like a plane or like a bus or a train. Yeah. I'm just like, what? Like
egg sandwiches and stuff like that.
The hell's wrong with people?
I think there's nothing wrong with sandwiches.
It's nuts for me. Nuts. Because I'm allergic to nuts.
No, he's and, not.
You're the one we got to turn the airplane around for, isn't
His
it?
Wife's admitted. Well, Kay's admitted to me that he's not allergic to nuts. He's made that up.
I haven't made it up.
He's just so homophobic.
Go and get her now.
I haven't made it up, Josh. But Bowen would literally be happy to see me eat nuts, keel over and die, and then go, oh, fair play. He was actually allergic to
them. Do you have an EpiPen?
Oops.
No.
Do you not allergic to nuts?
I'm not going to die from him. My throat just goes really scratchy and like almost feels like it's closing up a little bit.
When's the last time you've eaten a nut?
I think it's mainly hazelnuts I can't eat.
Oh, those are the best ones.
Josh, Kay's admitted to me he doesn't have a nut allergy. He just doesn't like nuts. So he uses the excuse that he's got a nut allergy.
Duff, what about D's nuts?
D's nuts.
I've seen him eating Ferrero Rochers before.
Those have hazelnuts in them.
He hasn't. He's winding you up, Josh.
That's a delicious, delicious snack. Anyway, well,
right, we've had enough time of talking nonsense. Let's start the show and talk some allergies. More nonsense.
Yeah.
Let's start the show and talk some more nonsense. Are we ready?
Can I just apologise to all the listeners? I'm just on the back end of a cold, so if you hear a cough, I do apologise.
Likewise. Josh has advised me to have vitamin D tablets, and I had some in the cupboard, so I've gone and had one, but they haven't kicked in yet, and it's been about half an hour. So
that's the only one you're going to have. You won't have any more, and then you'll be in the same place next week.
You need the spray. It's like 3,000 IBU spray. You do it every morning.
There was some spray going around when I went to Whitcomb for final throws. Is that the same sort of stuff, would it be?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably better for you. Honestly.
It was all natural, I think. Okie doke, let's start the show.
Well, it's time for In the Chains, the UK-based podcast for amateur disc golfers. Get ready for course reviews, disc reviews, and the latest news and updates from the disc golf world. Your hosts will also talk about their own progression and have a lot of fun along the way. And now, here they are, two Brits and one Yang. Let's get started.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode, and the last one of the year, to In the Chains podcast. And on the tee box tonight with me, as always, we have Thomas Bowen.
That intro worked. You got halfway through, then realised you messed it up, didn't you? And it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I ballsed it up. But no, I'm not going to go back. No. No. We don't edit our show anymore.
No.
This is what you hear is what we talk about, and that's it.
Roll.
Like it or lump it.
Roll.
Say hello, Bowen.
Oh, hello.
Right, and on the other side of the tee box with me, we have Joshua Birmingham.
What's up, y'all? And it's not the last episode of the year. We've just discussed last minute, as always, that we will have a Christmas episode. So,
Jesus
Merry Christmas
Christ.
To everyone.
Containing a quiz.
Jesus now, Christ, he is the reason for the season, Bowen. Good job.
Yes. Good word association. We have added... No, last two times we've done a quiz, I've done the questions. It would be nice to have somebody else do the questions and I can partake in
Does
the quiz.
Does it have to be a general knowledge quiz? Do it have to be a disc golf quiz or can we do general knowledge?
Well, maybe we have two sections.
Yeah, two sections would be all right.
It'll be like the doubles thing where you get best shot
and then I can prove why I deserve to be a Mensa. Perhaps Mensa will hear it and automatically put my name forward to be a part of the club.
How crazy if Mensa started sponsoring our show after they listen.
I'd rather not, because Mensa's full of weirdos.
That's why they might sponsor the show.
It's just a place of weirdos to congregate together.
Talk about how smart they are.
Exactly. I don't know why he's obsessed with it, because I'm clever enough to be in it, but I don't want to be.
No, we Mensa folk, the way we look at life.
Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is good. We can go into my section if we want already and talk about how smart Duffy really is.
Let's do that because this is going to be interesting. Go on. Go on, Josh.
Okay. The long-awaited points totals for the 2023 Pro
Hang
Tour
on, Josh.
Season.
It's all breaking up my end.
Oh,
can't
yeah.
hear
That's
what
okay.
you're saying.
I'll wait. Yes, so, you know, we haven't had an update in probably months.
I thought we'd forget about it, Josh, so congratulations for getting it sorted.
Some people thought or hoped that we would.
I will say, to add on to what Bowen said, we have tried multiple things that last season long. So we've done some type of other points tally, we've done some scoring, and nothing's ever lasted the whole year. We've just not been asked to finish it. So this is almost like an achievement in itself.
This was the easiest thing to forget until the end of the season where it's already totaled up for me, so... It actually worked
and
out.
And then we almost screwed it up because you couldn't find who picked it.
First of all, I was trying to figure this out today and I asked the boys who was on whose team. And Duffy tried to steal Kristen Tatar away from me, thinking I wouldn't remember that I picked the best player in the world. Anyway.
It was a genuine mistake.
Anyway. So, we have... Should I do first or last place first?
Last place, working up.
All right, it was Duffy. Everyone knows it. He picked...
been robbed here.
He had the most unhealthiest players of, like, any season, all in one on his team. He had Ricky Wysocki, Kona Panis, and Paige Pierce. How bad is that? And you still were only, you had 4,292 points. So you're about 700 points off.
So what does that, because I have no idea. Is that one of my people winning a tournament, or is that multiple people winning tournaments to catch up? How many points do you get for winning a tournament?
Yeah, you had one player with... a measly 207 points.
Who's that?
Oh, why you gotta ask me that? I didn't write that part down.
Because I want to unfollow him on our Twitter account, on our Instagram account.
I'm gonna say it's probably Kona.
I'm gonna message her. Yeah. I better not, actually.
No, you better not. Jesus Christ. That's my new saying.
You did have Ricky Wysocki, who got a good load of points for you. And then you had Calvin as well, didn't you?
Yeah, Matteo did all right the last
in Matteo,
end of the year. MVP, won MVP.
Yep. So that kind of made it less embarrassing for you.
I feel like it was the FPO side that let me down.
Yeah. Definitely. Valerie Mondahano was your big hitter.
My memory wasn't too good earlier when I was talking. I thought I had Kristen. Which was, like I say, a genuine mistake. However, I do remember I had last pick each time.
Oh,
snake draft.
So,
course as an excuse.
Yes. So that was an interesting one. So next year, presumably, I'll have first pick on both.
Okay.
So I came second, I bet, and I had second pick. So how does that work?
That's pretty. It just means that I picked the right people when I was supposed to.
Did I come second?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
But only by about 70 points.
Oh.
It was close. Yeah, it was close. I was getting a little worried because I added yours up first and then did mine. But yeah, so you had 5,026 points compared to Duffy's 4,292. And I was just at 5,095. So, looks like I won the forfeit, and you guys now, what was the forfeit?
The funny thing is...
It wasn't one set.
The funny thing is, it doesn't make any sense, because I trolled the first lot and ended up having to pick at the end anyway, so I technically had last picked off and still on the MPO and still you did picked, better than you.
You picked after we picked six, MPO, so you did fairly well.
Who was my big point scorer? Gannon.
Gannon, yep. And shit, let me see my phone. You had
Owen, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, Owen. Owen had 1,200 points just about, and Gannon had just over 1,000.
There we go.
And the rest were decent. You had one stinker that was Paige Hsu. I say that respectively. I'm a big fan. But yeah, I always have a way of just like really being rude without meaning to be.
Next week we've got Paige Hsu coming up.
Hopefully she doesn't do her research to figure out what she's coming to. But yeah, but the most points scored of any single player, easy to guess, is Kristen T.
How many did she get?
1,329.
Oh, so she didn't get many more than Owen?
No. Yeah. So, it was...
I imagine Owen probably... Did she play every tournament where Kristen come back to Europe for a little bit, didn't she?
Yeah. I was really thinking Owen was going to win the DGPT Tour Championships, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, Duff, if you had one or two players not break their ankle or I won't even mention it, just stay healthy, it would have been really close across the board. But yeah,
that's what you want.
And now you guys have to go streaking in the quad.
I don't. I didn't lose.
In the quad? You did?
I came second.
If you don't win, you've lost.
We said last place. If you want to listen back, we said last place. Don't bring me into it, Duff. This is what he does. This is why he can't do... This is why he won't do fantasy football, because he can't admit that he loses.
He has to buy that dinner.
No, I would admit I've lost.
Oh, no, that was Dennis.
But due to mitigating circumstances, that's all I'm saying.
Whereas I'd just say I lost, fair enough. I don't
exactly.
care.
You just admitted you've lost.
I don't care enough about it. But I care about is you is, caring what, too much.
Shut up. What's my forfeit?
I don't know that we ever decided on anything, but I'll just say...
Don't make it. I've got to lose weight.
We've got to take some discs out of this bag for the next round we play.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to take out all his MVPs. Not allowed to throw any MVP.
Oof. How many discs would you be left with?
We'll replace it with Discraft for him.
How many discs would you have in your bag if you took out all the MVP right now?
1, 3. I'd have 3 putters out of 7. I wouldn't have any mid-rangers. I'd be all right in fairway drivers.
You'd be down about 10 insanities.
Yeah. Anything above an 8 speed, I wouldn't have anything. The only thing I'd have really is about 3 or 4 fairway drivers and 3 putters.
I'd say we got a fanboy on our hands.
So would I. You're going to have Discraft as well because it's your least favourite.
What?
You turned down a Discraft deal recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I just wanted Robin Dale of it.
Anyway, well, that was good competition. I wish I'd have kept up with it throughout the season a little more, just for the bants. But there we have it. I will accept payment in creamy fucking pints.
You ain't getting fuck all out of me.
The swear word was pretty English then.
Was it? You don't know, do you know the creamy effing pints guy?
No.
Oh man, he's good. He's like a comedian. I see him on Facebook a lot. But a Guinness from each of you will suffice.
Guinness?
Yeah. That sounds good.
Maybe 2 Guinness from Duff and 1 from Bowen.
No, Josh. Well, I'll tell you what. Let you get bladdered.
What?
3 Guinness isn't
going to
do anything.
You're American. You only have wheat beer.
Wow.
What about, Josh, we go to the pub after the Unprofessional Open 2024 and we get you a Guinness each then? How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Sorted. And, okay, so let's do what we normally do. Thank you for doing that, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
It was a good bit of fun all season. It's the first time we've ever completed any tasks that we've ever sat on this show. So,
could I just say we did forget about it for 6 months and then come back to it?
Yes. It was kind of a self-governing competition in a way.
To be fair, we didn't have to do anything.
We did remember.
What? Say what? What?
You go,
yes.
You go, Dom.
We did. No.
Right. So.
Wait.
It was.
I'll go. So let's move on. Let's go to.
No, because I wanted to say the point. You can't just move on. It's pointless now, though. But it was.
This is still better than the USDGC commentary with the champ. And Ian and what's his name? Philo.
Ian and Philo. Fucking hell.
Three people should never be in the booth, ever.
It winds me up, Josh. Every time it's on, I'll put it in the chat. Ian talks to Philo like he's an absolute idol of his. And then Philo just constantly contradicts everything that Ian says. So Ian will say, oh, he's left that a bit short. And Philo will go, no, actually, that's the play he wanted to do because it leaves him a better upshot put because you can get right to left. And it's like Ian just accepts it every time. And you're like, if you feel like that he's left it short, stick with it. Have a bit of conviction in you. And he almost feels like, well, I've never really played the game at the top level, so I don't really have a say. I shouldn't really have a say in it. And you think, well, what are you doing there then? I find them so annoying.
But yeah, that's the thing. You're either good at commentary, and that's why you're there, or you've played.
Yeah.
So I don't think he qualifies. But yeah, anyway.
So, what have we been up to? Have you We'll go to Bowen first, because I think Josh has got quite a lot to say. Because I think since... Have we talked about your trip away yet, Josh?
Yes.
We have. Okay. I forgot, because it's been that long.
Yeah.
So we'll go to Bowen. What have you been up to?
Well, we have been... I've been away a couple of weekends in a row, and then we were at home this weekend. But me and you took a mutual trip, didn't we, 2 weeks ago up to Scotland?
Yep.
To play in the Scottish Championships. I was hoping to bring home the MA4 crown back to England and failed miserably. And you were hoping to bring
I was quite successful. I was had a 3-shot lead. Until until the third round, when I royally fucked it up.
I was going to bring it up, but I didn't know if I should. You were doing good, though.
I was doing well. I tell you what, Josh, I really like playing tournaments up in Scotland. I feel like the people up there are really down to earth. You have a good laugh on the card. It's never as serious. And I feel like the entry cost, it was a 2-day tournament. We had a disc and a starter pack. The winners of each division that had more than something like 5 people, so there's about 5 divisions that this counted for, won a portable disc golf basket. So it's decent prizes, and it cost £25, and that was to play Bluebells for 2 days. And it's like, I feel like there's really good value up there. And every time I go up there, I've only ever played Bluebells up there as a tournament, but I've done it a few times now, and I've always really enjoyed it.
It's also, I mean, it's the course as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's really good course. It's definitely one of the best. But sorry, Vaughn, I'm hijacked your bit.
I'm quite glad because I disconnected for a minute and now I've just come back.
Oh, okay. So
perfect timing. So we went up there, stopped with John and Sammy, had a good weekend. Then we played in the doubles tournament. All 3 of us played in it on different teams, didn't we?
Yeah. That was good.
It was a really good tournament.
I didn't even get a... Duffy didn't even ask me if he wanted me to be his partner. I had to find someone else. I chose a better man.
That's a little stretch. How it worked was, I said, Matt asked me first, and I said, well, I don't know whether, because Bowen wants to play in the tournament as well, and I don't know whether we have equal numbers, i.e. we're going to have equal partners, so it may be that we have to flip a coin or draw names or whatever to see who plays with who. And Bowen said, oh, don't worry, I'll ask Shane. Condor will play, I reckon, and I'll just team up with him. I ain't bothered. And now he's throwing it back in my face.
Got ditched, but because I was a good friend, I found another partner. And I was about to say, probably a better man as well. Like, I found the door.
There's no probably about that.
So
I mean... Yeah, then you wouldn't have been able to call yourselves Bodor.
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm Bodor. Saying that's what you want. Okay.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we teamed up.
And you both put with Penrose.
We both put with the same Penrose, and he's asked me, I managed to purchase 2 more. He's asked me, can he have one of mine? And I said, of course, but I forgot to give it to him. So
I'm just gonna send him one. If you're listening, Condor, you got one coming your way in the next few days.
Oh, what a guy!
He deserves it, to be fair. But well done, Josh.
He does love him, to be fair. Every time I played with him, like the last 6 rounds I played with him, he's talked like very highly about the Penrose. He loves them.
They're amazing.
It might be used, but slightly used, and it's coming your way.
So we...
He'll really appreciate that.
Yeah, he will do. We played well in the first round. I'm fuming. I'm absolutely fuming, but happy at the same time. Hole 12 was our second hole of the tournament. We're playing with Ben and Zaki on our card.
Oh, Ben, you saw it.
Well, no, not really. Ben came up and got his boss out, and he threw it on this massive forehand, high forehand. And I thought, that's going to be up the bank, that is. And then I heard some chains. And I was like, and I was the only one reacting. I was going, no, no, no. And then, like, the card in front was screaming. And he runs up and he's aced hole 12. So we're all going mad. I said, like, Zachy was like, there's no point me throwing. I said, mate, just throw anyway, because you might ace it as well. Anyway, Zachy throws it, doesn't ace it.
No, of course not.
I didn't mean it in Aram. I didn't mean that in Aram.
No, way. No, but the chances of that happening.
I step up, throw pretty much an identical line to him, didn't hear any chains, get up there, I'm 2 foot away from the basket.
That's pretty sweet.
And I just feel like, why has someone always got to outshine me? Why the fuck has someone always got to outshine me?
Well, it wasn't like a pure ace. It kicked in off the log behind it.
Yeah, right? How does that even happen?
So, I don't Josh, know. Are we saying officially on this show that it wasn't actually an ace?
No. It was amazing, and like, I have to say,
I think that's the first time that hole's ever been aced, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. And Ben inspired me to sort of try and throw that line as well, because I try and throw it a bit flatter, get halfway up the bank, but I thought, I got my X-Cal out, and I thought, I'm going to have to beast this. But I threw it high like him, and it just came off.
The trees being gone makes it so much easier.
It does, yeah.
Now you're trying to take away from Ben.
No, it does.
But that
it
line does, didn't mate. Exist before.
No.
Oh, I think it did. I think it did. Like that.
Which... Not with the height. The ones up the straight, as you throw in, straight in front of you at the end.
I don't know why he even took them down. Were they like ash trees or something? They were dying.
I don't know.
But don't yeah, know.
It was surprising. I didn't know they were gone until I went to play the hole, and I was like, oh, this is completely different.
To be fair, that is true. Like, you wouldn't get that cut in at that height cut in. Yeah, I do get that. But like, it was still like, and we're talking about it. Well, it's never been aced, but like, it's very rare to get two birdies on a card, isn't it? Or anything yeah. more than one birdie. And we had an ace yeah. and a birdie on the same card, which is
yeah.
a galaxy round, is it? Or a galaxy frame, they called it.
Is that... Yeah, I've only heard that like once or twice. I think that's correct.
I'd never heard it, but it's anything better than a star frame.
Galaxy frame. So, that's yeah. cool. That is really cool.
But first round went all right. Second round, alternate doubles. We started off very cold. We didn't get a par until about our seventh hole in. You know, hole one? Well, hole 18, we four putted on.
Oh, no.
Hole one, we moved on.
This was in the second round, wasn't it?
Yeah, when it was alternate yeah. putts. Yeah. Hole one, I smoked like a forehand and got it past the Mando tree. A little bit pinched off, but not too bad. And Condor was like, it's Condor's shot. And he's like, shall I go for it? I'm like, don't bother laying up. We're too close to lay up. Just get it across. So he went, what do you reckon, forehand? I went, whatever you're comfortable with, but I'd play a forehand if it was me. So he rocks up, throws a forehand. It hits the trees on the right, lands in the OB, but call it hazard. It's probably a hazard, isn't it?
I think it's called the bunker.
The bunker. So it landed in the bunker. So then I had to retake from the same spot, put it in the left-hand trees. So Condor took another forehand, put it in the right-hand trees. I'm like, don't worry, I've missed one shot, I'm going to hit it.
Yeah.
I threw it in the left-hand trees.
Five.
Condor then stood up and said, all right, I'm just going to throw my backhand. Throws a lovely sort of understable backhand
and parks it under the basket. I just turned around and went, why didn't you do that the first time?
So you took a 7.
We took a 7 on it. But yeah, that just shows what alternate shots can do to you. It was, I found it so, and I'm sure everyone did because the scores reflected it. And someone said who wasn't there, why was score so rubbish on the second round? Alternate shot was hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
it's kind of to get rhythm, don't you?
If anybody was super hot in the first round, it would kind of level back out, or you would think it would.
That's exactly what I said to Bowen. I said, you can lose it in the first round by not shooting well, but you can't win anything in the first round playing best shot. The win or losing of it comes in the second round. You've got to shoot well to be up there, but it could go anywhere after the first, in the second round.
Yeah. I enjoyed the format a lot. I was just kind of sad the second round because I wanted to play all the shots on all the holes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
I'm
exactly.
Like, I only get up here every once in a while. It's like now I'm playing half a round, essentially, but it's still good. I think it had to be that way.
Yeah, I think so too, because otherwise, I feel like it gives players, not MPO players, a bit more of a chance. They're not going to beat them, but it sort of lowers the gap between the two. Because best shot, if you give you and Matt Parslow the best shot, one of you is going to throw a shot that's pretty much going to park the hole. I would say.
You would think so.
Yeah. Whereas like say me and Bowen teamed up, the chances of us throwing a shot that's going to get a birdie in two shots is a lot lower. I mean, we can do it, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot lower probability than what it would be for like you and Matt Parslow or Ben Holden and Zaki or do you know what I mean? And but whereas alternate shots, you're capable of throwing a shit shot. Like, you might slip out your hand, you might not read the wind correctly, and then Matt Parslow's in a tricky position then, and I feel like it evens it out a bit more then.
It's funny. So you took a 7 on one.
Yeah.
How did you think one played, Josh, as a whole?
I enjoyed it.
It was hard. I mean, I liked it, but it was hard.
I liked it as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really, really cool little addition. I wouldn't mind seeing that more in tournaments.
Should it always be like that, do you reckon? I think so.
I liked it, and I like the fact it was a bunker rather than OB as well.
Yeah. It just means you're going to try to go for it.
Unless you're out of position, then it makes the laying up a lot easier decision.
Yeah. It was good. I liked it.
We've had this argument before that hole one on the black course is easier than hole one on the blue course. So maybe putting the bunker in for hole one on the black course makes it harder again.
Equals it out a bit more, yeah. Yeah.
And equally makes the blue one harder because you can actually reach the basket from blues. And so if you do go for it, you might just end up going in the bunker.
I wouldn't bother putting it in on the blues because it's always, for me anyway, it's quite a hard, I'm saying that, it's not especially hard, is it?
I think it's just the low ceiling.
Yeah,
and the gap left to right is pretty skinny
not,
as well. But
it's not too hard to pick up par on blues.
Yeah,
but it's really hard to get a birdie.
Yeah,
yeah.
At our level, anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel a birdie's fairly easy on the blacks
without the bunker,
because you're only bunker, a little bit back, aren't you?
Yeah. No, I definitely like the layout anyway.
My only complaint is I didn't feel like, I felt like I was left wanting a bit more disc golf. If it was me, I'd have probably said done. And I know it was a great tournament and this is purely constructive. Either 3 rounds of alternate shots or 2 rounds of best shots. Because I just
I quite like the mixture I do. But I mean, I feel like the second round went really quick because you're effectively just playing 2 people.
Exactly.
And I feel like knowing that now, I feel like you, if you would have started, say they would, could we started at what, was it 10 or yes. half 10?
Yeah, 10.
I feel like if you started at even half 9 and then had like half an hour less for lunch, because that could have been doable as well, I feel like you could probably have fit another alternate round in, had 3 rounds in a day. And yeah. you're only effectively playing 2 rounds still because you're playing half the shots. So,
yeah.
That's another option as well, and it feel like you'd feel like you got more golf in, but I thought it was really good. I thought it was yeah. really well run, and the food was lovely. That was one of the main reasons for signing it up. Yeah. Long may Burning Plough keep coming to tournament, because it's class having hot food like that there. What I was going to say to you, Josh, was when we was at Bluebells, the one lad who's local, Ross, his name was, after the second round, he was on the lead card with me, and I thought, it was a really, honestly, a really nice bloke, really down-to-earth lad, and he was really good player. He hadn't been playing long, about a year and a half, something like that, and he plays at Bluebells all the time. But I turned up to the second round with him on the lead card, yeah, and he had, you know, those umbrella hats.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I wanted to say this, yeah, about it.
He had one of those umbrella hats that just covers his head, sort of thing, like a hat.
Yeah.
And I thought, there was no way I could lose to somebody with an umbrella hat on. And I tell you what, I give it a damn good going as well. And I beat him by one shot in the end. But no, it was a good weekend with Ross. We had a good laugh. But I thought, there's no way I could lose to somebody with an umbrella hat on.
What's the actor's name? The shit.
Whoopi Goldberg.
No, he wears umbrella hats when he's playing golf. Comedian, old school.
Woody Harrelson.
Nope. Doesn't matter. Moving on. But yeah, no, good that would be
cool story, bro.
Yeah, thanks. Damn it.
So that's that. So have you played anything, Josh, other than the doubles tournament?
No, not really. So we did doubles. I don't know if we've talked about the British Championships in Croydon yet.
No. How did that go for you?
It was good. It was fun. I think I was talking to you earlier about just kind of relaxing more at tournaments and not being so worked up about results. But this was like the one I really wanted to win. Home course, you know, if I was ever going to win a British Championships in MPO, that was going to be it. And so I practiced a good bit beforehand and showed up. And, like, it's weird. Like, none of the MPO players really shot, like, hot rounds. I think Noah, you'll get to that. Noah won it, but he didn't even shoot, like, 1,000 rated average for the weekend. So it was, like, through the first couple of rounds, I was, like, only down 4 strokes off the lead. And I felt like I'd just not played great at all. So it was a bit frustrating to know that if I had just played like my average golf at my home course, I probably could have won. But the course played great. It was just a bit windy. We had a couple extra like OB things, like an island on 10 that played really tough. So the ratings were slightly better. It's the downhill.
The downhill one with the new pad, new tee pad, yeah.
So they put in an island that if you miss, it was just a hazard. So you still play there with an extra shot, which meant that if you didn't get through that initial gap and you fell down to those trees, you're throwing with a shot penalty from there.
Yeah.
So it's pretty rough, which I didn't land in there, but like I took on a hole that I would expect at least birdie 2 out of the 3 rounds. I took bogey, par, bogey.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah. So it's that
just rough. from the pressure of I've got to land it in the on the island.
Got to land it in the thing, and then it was just like pretty windy weekend, and I wasn't really expecting that. Like the week leading up to it, it all looked calm, and then the last couple of days before, the forecast started getting worse and worse with the wind. So it's just so easy to mess it up on that one because you got the elevation, and also if you get the angle just off a little bit, it just carries.
Yeah.
So that was pretty tough, which I enjoyed that change though. It was a lot of scoring separation for that hole.
How did six play if it was windy? Because that's a treacherous hole. If it's easy if it's there's no wind, but six or always seven. Wind there.
The par four. The
no five. Five is it?
Oh, five. Yeah. It played. It was windy. I don't remember exactly like what kind of like the spread of the scores were, if they were like worse than normal, but I played it pretty well. I have two birdies and a bogey.
Which one's five?
What do you do there, Josh? Down the hill. Do you just throw something?
It's like with the open, yeah, you got the hedge on the right. The massive hedge on the right. And the OB line on the left. So it's just like the hallway kind of. I just throw a really stable forehand at the big tree left of the basket, which just like flat or maybe a touch of Anheuser. So it's like right when it gets to the tree, it just hyzers out.
I think a lot of the pros throw forehand on that hole, whereas I always throw backhand, and I feel like maybe I think forehand must be the way, because like I say, you see a lot of people, better players, throw forehand on that hole.
It depends on the wind, but if you have the power to get a forehand with something like mega stable, and you just yank it over into that open area, and it will always come back. But I used to always do like a really fast, stable driver backhand, like not a spike because I can't quite spike it that far, but just out big hyzer over the right, over the bush. And if it's a left to right wind, it'll just like squish it down instead of letting it go left OB.
Why does no one throw a roller on that hole?
Because the grass is always too thick.
Okay.
But the safe play is just to throw like a mid halfway down, lay up, tap in a three.
That's what I did after the first round last time, is throw that.
It's kind of, you want to try to get to the basket from the tee because it's really not that far, but it's just the safest play, I think.
Yeah. It's a tricky hole.
You look halfway back at the hole if you get OB for doing three, so you're going to get a bogey almost guaranteed.
Because if you took a picture of it and showed it to somebody, they'd go, well, that's an easy hole. But when you actually play it with a bit of wind and stuff, it makes it a lot more treacherous.
Yeah.
Especially when they bring the stakes in off the bush as well. If they use the bush as the line, that makes it easier because you can hit the bush and bounce down, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if they bring the stakes in and you hit the bush and it bounces down, it's not...
I feel like that. Barney has a bit of Schadenfreude like with the course. Like he's created this course and he knows that if he brings it off the line, like you're not going to get those bounces in. But maybe you don't deserve to be in bounds if you've hit those bushes. But like
exactly. Yeah.
But also, it's like a bit of rough under those bushes, and you have to go through there and like cut all that stuff back to put the line down. And we're not going to be doing that. We're just going to be like, all right, what's the easiest way to put this line down? But yeah, it can be a real bitch. But yeah, so that was all right. But yeah, it was a good tournament. It was pretty exciting. Came down to the wire on the last hole. I thought we might get a playoff between Ben and Noah, but Noah was able to get the most lucky birdie I've ever seen in my life on that hole.
So was it you telling me about this, or was it someone else? Oh, it's Sammy. Me? Sammy was.
Oh, was he? Oh, yeah. Me and Sammy were like standing right next to each other watching this go down. So, like, Noah is throwing a buzz off the tee of 18, just left of that tree that's right in the middle that you have to miss.
Yeah.
Just to the left, kind of high side of it. And right as it gets there, it just kind of turns over and goes right at the basket. And he said he skipped off the basket in practice, like for an ace almost.
Yeah.
And so he'd been nailing that line, and then it came down to the last hole. He was down a stroke to Ben holding. So I think Ben had to throw first, and he did the classic line that I take, which is like some like fairway driver on the left side of that tree, right at the rough straight ahead, and then it just turns over and goes between. Yeah. He didn't get it turned over, so it goes deep in the woods. And so
that's what I normally do.
yeah. It's so easy to do because you think if the wind's coming up, you think, oh, this will turn it. But then
you've got the height as well, which allows it to sort of stall a little bit and fade out into those woods. Yeah.
It's a touchy shot. So Ben does that. And I was like, oh, classic. So Noah steps up, door wide open, shanks it right of the tree in the middle, straight into the massive OB on the right, kind of like pin high where that massive oak is, you know?
That's really bushes. Yeah. Tricky there to get around.
It's the worst place to be. Yeah. But he was like dead center, hits dead center, and I assume just dropped down the middle with nothing. So I go over there trying to get ahead of the card and find it so we're not wasting any time. I'm looking everywhere. I'm like, I don't see it. I was like, he's screwed. Dan Ryan threw, because he's lefty, a hyzer around, and it went about pin high just on the edge of that rough, but on the side of the basket.
Why does no one throw forehands there? Sorry to interrupt. Why does no one throw forehands?
Why doesn't he?
Why does no one?
Oh, no one. I do it if I'm playing for par because I can't quite get the angle to get all the way to the basket. Okay. But it's a pretty safe play.
Okay.
I did do it in an earlier round to get a par and end up making a huge putt for birdie, but that wasn't the play. Anyway, it's not about me.
sorry.
So
yeah,
it's fine. I saw Dan Ryan's disc on the edge about 6 meters from the basket, maybe seven. And I walk over and I see another disc laying on top of Dan's. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not Noah's disc. And I go over there, and it's a buzz. And it's like, he's 7 meters, basically nothing in the way. Had a little straddle putt, makes the birdie putt. Ben takes a four. And so that was the two strokes he needed to get ahead of Ben on the very last hole, and he won. I was like, how is he not in the middle of this tree? It was so crazy. But yeah, I was kind of gutted for Ben the way it went down, because I think he had like 10 or 11 meter putt for a par that would have kept him tied, and he missed it because everyone's standing around watching. You know, I think the pressure maybe got to him. But I was hoping for a playoff at that point, and I thought we were pretty much guaranteed a playoff. But yeah, Noah took it down. But it was a good weekend overall. I barely tied Dan Ryan, so that was my secondary goal, to not let him beat me. And I made sure to go rub it in right when he missed a putt to tie me. And the last hole. He was so mad, and I was just like, why are you taking it easy on me? He's like, shut up. So job done there.
If only he could sack you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I quit, so.
You have no power over me now, Dan.
he beat me too many times before. I couldn't be his employee.
Could I interrupt the story about this?
I'm done.
Has anyone seen the ITV, I don't know whether it be East Anglia or South, news report on the Essex course yet?
No.
It was put in the British Facebook page today. The only reason I'm saying this is because I chose two gimps to actually talk to the news. Have a guess who them two gimps were?
Not Schwab and Schmickle.
No.
No. No?
Noah and Ben.
Oh.
The
pride of England.
I was about to say, shining stars of British disc golf. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They interview Rich Hatton as well. So.
Oh, that's why they were there. Yeah, they sent a photo. I think Hatton and Ben played doubles against Bubba and Noah. And I had to pick the winners.
Well, it'd be Hatton and Ben, wouldn't it?
I don't remember. I think it was the other way around, by a stroke. That they ran kid, out of daylight.
I don't want to. This isn't a slight on Noah, but Ben's hardly only been playing 2 years. That kid is something special, I can tell you now.
I agree.
I don't know where he's got it from. I asked him, where have you got it from? And he was talking about his brother. I was like, does your brother play? And he went, no, but he's very sporty as well. Like,
do you remember Bowen when he was this little spotty teenage kid? And he was quiet as a mouse, cleaning up gillies.
Was a spotty teenager. Still is.
Yeah.
He's unreal.
He's a good time, that kid, as well. But, like, yeah, he's a real nice lad.
He is a real nice lad, and he's a real good player. And he's going to be set for big things, I think.
He eats about 10,000 calories per meal.
Does he?
That's just under what I eat.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem is, Duff, you've got old and your metabolism you slowed feet? Down. We're too old now.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see where Ben goes, I think.
What have you done, so Duff, that I haven't done?
Nothing. I think I played Shrewsbury once with Kay.
Oh, we haven't spoke about how horrendous the weather was up in Scotland, have we?
Oh, it's torrential, Josh.
Buckets,
it was the worst
right?
weather I've ever played in.
First day?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, imagine like the heaviest rain that you've seen in England or in Britain since you've been here. And I would say it was like that for all of Saturday and for 70% of the rain on Sunday.
You know what, though? That's kind of what you get for playing disc golf in Scotland in October.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. But like, you literally, even on the first hole, as soon as you took your disc out, it was soaking wet and you just couldn't get your disc dry. It was like throwing a bar of soap. It was just pathetic in the end, honestly. Parts of Saturday weren't even fun because it was just like you had no conviction in what you were throwing.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I did. See if this is a good, whether you, as a pro, would say this was a good plan. Once I realised that I weren't getting proper distance, I weren't being able to throw proper shots, I dissed down, but threw more understable so that I could match what I would have been doing with the other one with less power. And I kind of felt like I got more of a flight out of it then. Would you say that's a smart play?
Yeah, that's a smart play. And also just the mindset of par is now birdie in my mind.
Yeah. The mindset I had was, well, I'm not going to make excuses because it's the same for everybody. Everybody's in exactly the same position.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I sort of dealt with it mentally. And that seemed to do all right. But it was really tough.
I felt bad for everybody because there was a few people messaging just saying, you know, I want to just drop out.
I wouldn't have played if it was local. I'd have just said, after probably being there an hour, I just said, no, I'm not playing.
Yeah. Was it both rounds on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh.
But we dried ourselves off a bit with Mr. Peter O'Brien. He took us to the chippy, didn't he?
Yeah. That was an experience in itself. Do you know what Bowen had, Josh?
Chip buddy.
No, more Scottish than that.
Ooh, haggis.
No, more Scottish than that.
I don't know.
A pizza crunch.
A what?
Pizza crunch. It's a deep-fried in batter pizza.
Oh, fried pizza.
It was actually really tasty.
I bet. I know I've had this before, but I didn't know it was called Pizza Crunch. I can't remember what it was called. It was like some fancy pizza place that did it. So I don't think it's like a lowbrow type thing.
I think it is in Scotland.
Well, depending on the pizza, I guess, but...
Sorry.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was talking to Laura Fife, and she said, we used to get that for lunch at school.
Yeah, it's dirty, but like in the best way, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I
back that 100% because when I'm back home, I eat a lot of Mexican because it's just everywhere and it's just, I feel like it's better in the States than here. But they do fried burritos, which is a chimichanga. And so they make the whole burrito and then they drop the whole thing down in the fryer. It's just
that'd be amazing. So that'd be amazing.
Just douse it in the white, like, drippy cheese, you know? Just like, oh, it's so good.
That'd be amazing. Fuck.
God, I shouldn't have said that. I haven't had dinner yet. But yeah, no, I'm down with that. I think next time I go, that will be my meal of choice.
Pizza Crunch, Dunbar Fish and Chip Shop.
So how about... So you witnessed Charlie O'Brien absolutely slay his brother.
Yeah.
And his brother. By 20 strokes, just about.
It's ridiculous.
What's going on with that kid right now?
Mate, he is like, when we played Whitcomb, I know the scores don't get produced like they do for PDGA events and stuff like that, but like, it was class at Whitcomb as well. Like, he's been like so good this year.
So you didn't talk to him? Like, is he like doing loads of field work? Is he practicing, or is he just
talked to him?
I mean, he's been playing his whole life, so at some point it's going to come together.
I talked to him, but he's just a super friendly kid. I didn't really talk about what he's been doing.
No, he
almost seemed a bit, especially on the Sunday round. He seemed in a bit of disbelief about it, but like
14 under he scored on that Sunday.
That's a mad score, but I'm not surprised that he took the tournament down, because like I just feel like he's played absolutely class this year. He's only played in a few tournaments, but every one has been done really well at.
Yeah, he was like beating Scott Stokely for a little bit.
Yeah. QP Open, he came second behind Noah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, like, it's just played really well all year. And it makes you think if he got to more tournaments and maybe went with Joe to abroad, what could happen? Like, is it the better you play the people? If you play with better people, you think you'll get even better. So, like, and it eases the burden, doesn't it, of travel costs and all that sort of stuff if you can split it and whatnot. So it'd be good to see him out there.
He's kind of flipped the script on who I thought was the better O'Brien.
Not to take away
from Joe at all, because they're both great, right? And I think they both on their day beat, you know, anyone in the UK for sure. And I think Joe's probably more consistent at this point, but I mean, this is some new stuff that I'm seeing out of Charlie, like as of late. So we'll see where he goes.
Is it a bit of belief, Josh?
Maybe.
Is it a bit of belief? Like, I am good enough to win tournaments and stuff, and that was the hurdle that he had to sort of get over. Because like ability wise, nobody would ever say he's lacking ability, would they? I mean, he's natural. Just a natural, both all the O'Briens, I mean, they've grown up with frisbees and stuff all their life. You can just see, like, the way they throw the disc is they're just natural, sort of, with it. Like, but it's, it is interesting. But yeah, he was dead chuffed. He was dead chuffed about the course record and stuff.
I was really happy about it. But yeah, it sounds like a good one. I haven't been up there in a couple of years, but I usually do go up for the October event. But it's always fun. It really is.
Yeah.
Fly up with us next time.
Yeah. Yeah, I might not play as many tournaments, so I'll probably just pick a couple of good ones like that.
Yeah, sounds good. Right, so shall we... We're running at about an hour now. Okay, so... And then we're going to go into...
Is this the time I speak now?
You pillock.
Look, we haven't been on here for that long. Do you know what I've done as well? So I apologise to all listeners. I've just managed to wipe out a contact lens, so I can only see one eye. So I'm not going to go through everything.
Hang on. Before you start, Bone, sorry. There's going to be no maths involved this time, is there?
No, there isn't.
That's all right then.
Well, there might be, because I think there's something wrong with the PDGA website. Because I'm just going to talk about the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship, and I'm looking at the scores. These scores can't be right.
It's because it was the two rounds where they were given strokes based on how good they did throughout the year. And then they reset for third and fourth round. Back to scratch.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, thank you. I didn't understand the premise, so there we go. Sorry everyone, be cold. In MPO, Ricky came first and won $40,000, which is the biggest prize of the year, isn't it?
Yeah.
2 years Kyle, in a row as well.
2 years in a row. Kyle Coyne came second. And Calvin came third.
Question for you then, Josh. Would Ricky swap those two wins for two last two worlds?
Of
course you would.
I would say... Ooh, that's tough. Because it's always... Because
a lot more money.
It's a lot more money, but I think having two more world titles probably gets him more money in the long run. And he doesn't have a major, right? Not as many majors.
Because that would put him on, what, four,
that would put him on 4 world titles, wouldn't it, if he was to do that? So he'd still be 2 beyond Macbeth.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He needs to get more majors in comparison to Macbeth, which maybe he doesn't care about that, but I feel like somewhere inside him,
yeah,
he does.
He does. Yeah. So what are you saying? You think he would or not?
I'm gonna say
swap it for world championships. Of course you would.
I'm gonna say yeah.
Yeah, I think I would say yes as well.
What's the best tournament to win in disc golf? Is it the end of season, or is it the World Championships?
This is a question though. I think you're gonna win more at the end of season though, aren't you?
Yeah.
So yeah, you're gonna win more money. Purse. So do you want more money or do you want the prestige of Worlds, 30 grand champion?
Worlds was yeah, 30 grand, yeah, so it's only it's only 10 grand off. Yeah, right. I feel like
to some of the smaller boys, I agree. But like Ricky's, it's a world championship all day long.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
So
sorry.
Well, that's it. Or you can carry on talking about it if you want before I move on to MPO.
FBO.
Yeah, just FBO. Calvin. You know, Calvin once again being Mr. Consistency, but not Mr.
Can't finish it.
Just come too late, Mr. Winner.
Which, you know, would you trade Ricky's season for Calvin's season?
Be interesting to see how much both of them earned.
Calvin made a lot more.
Yeah.
Right?
I would guess that. I would guess so.
I mean, obviously he played more tournaments and finished in the top 10 almost every single time.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing like, no major titles, right?
No. So who, if you had to say now, I suppose you'd go off points, I suppose, but who in your mind had the best season in MPO? If you could only name one player.
Ooh. I think for this individual, he would say it was his best season, Matty O. I mean, this is years and years. I mean, that's not the best season in MPO, but personally for him, I bet he was like, that was the best of his life.
I don't know if it's like recency bias, but I think I would edge towards maybe Carl Klein.
I think Gannon's had a class season.
He started well, but he drifted off. I mean, he's had some low finishes.
But he won USDGC and almost the Pro Tour Championship.
Yeah.
Gannon's won what? The Austin one? And what else?
He won stuff at the start of the season. Yeah. So did he win LVC? Start.
Did he?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Right. I know he won a few at the start because it was with that Prodigy, the ongoing Prodigy lawsuit and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Let me have a look.
I can't remember. I'm going to say...
That's a tough one. I mean, I might have to stick with Calvin.
He won for consistency.
He won Ida Wild.
I mean, it seems boring on the outside, but if you go back and just look at it, the dude was always there, and like,
do you think he wants it enough? Do you think he wants a wins enough?
I think he does. He's quiet, so it may not feel like it, but I think maybe that's kind of the reason that he didn't win. It's because he feels the pressure too much.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's ever going to break through that. Hopefully he does, but I mean, there's an argument.
You kind of felt last year, remember when him and Macbeth went to playoff and then he parked it on the first playoff hole. You kind of felt like that was the monkey off his back a little bit, and you felt like, oh, here we go. Now he's got that win out of the way. He's going to start converting these seconds into first and stuff. But it's never really happened, has it?
That was AstroTurf Gate or Turf Gate, whatever you want to call it. But yeah. Turf Gate. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like Would you rather be Calvin or Ricky this year? That's the question.
I think Ricky. I think you come off the end of the year. I think Ricky can say, I mean, those two are my favourite two players, so I haven't got a bias against either of them. But I feel like at least Ricky can say, well, I've won the thing that we were building up to the whole year. I feel like he can say, but if you would have asked me before the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships, I'd have said Calvin. But I feel like that win at the end of the season is almost like a crowning. Do you know what I mean?
And I'm just like pretty stoked for him because obviously he's had a rough go this year, and for him to come back and do that. And it's also a repeat win. It's just like, it's huge. And like that probably gives him all the confidence going into the off season to come back even better next year. But the things he was doing in that tournament were just insane.
Like that putt on hole one of the last round.
Dude, as soon as it hit, I was like, that's it. He's winning this fucking tournament. Yeah. No one's going to beat him now.
Yeah. And then he even had that wobble like mid-round. Where he lost like four strokes in like five holes or something.
He took a seven on one hole, didn't he?
And it was like most people at that point would have gone, oh man, I've screwed this up now. And like it was like, yeah, I'm playing well. Nothing's going to affect it. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Keep playing aggressive, and it's going to and it come back, and you just couldn't. Every time Klein did something to get like, and you think, oh. Always put the pressure on Ricky. Ricky gets it closer, and it's like, just leave it out, man. What do you want me to do? And it's like, he just.
He's just one of those players. It's so intimidating to be playing with him when he's playing good.
Yeah.
And even if you are good and you feel like maybe you could win, it's just he keeps just doing those things, and you think, I'll never beat that. I can't. Yeah. What am I going to do? Yeah.
I've just thrown the best shot I could, which is a really good shot. And it still wasn't good enough on this shot. He's made
a putt from like 80 feet down a hill on an elevated basket.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it's cool. I'm going to have to go back and watch it after this again, the final round.
Got him.
Yeah.
Got FPO. Him, bone. FPO.
FPO. Missy Gannon won with Cat Murch in second, tied with Owen Scoggins, and then Hayley King and Kristen Tatar in tied fourth. So yeah, that was that's FPO. So who's had the best season in FPO? Or need I not bother asking that? That's
foregone conclusion, isn't it? I think
that's the most pointless question ever.
It's basically the question is now: who is that the best FPO season in disc golf history?
And will she get to 1,000?
And will she get to 1,000?
Let me see. Is she close?
She was 999.
I think she will at some point next year.
Oh, no, she's 998. She's lost one.
Yeah.
I think she will at some point next year. Although, I don't know. The Pro Tour Championship ratings have not been factored in. So, she might go down a little bit.
Yeah, potentially.
But, I mean... it's nothing. She'll bounce back from whatever it was, but I feel like that was kind of surprising and not at the same time. Leaderboard, finish. Like
Kristen seemed to tail off just a little bit at the end of the season. I'm probably a bit of fatigue. I would have thought.
Well,
but like she just didn't look quite herself towards the end, did she?
Think you're living in another country temporarily, so you never get that feel of home, and you know you've already won a Grand Slam. It's like, what's my motivation? Like, she just got engaged, and like, she's done enough. I mean, it's such a good season, but I kind of did want her to cap it off with like another big win, but that not happening. I was kind of excited maybe that Owen was going to pull it off, because that would be my second choice to have won.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's playing injured, so, and like when we had her on the show, she gets better every year, and she's still continuing to do that.
Yeah.
Into her early 40s, and it's just nuts.
Imagine if she would have done this 15 years ago. Started playing 15 years ago and like...
Yeah.
Like been in her peak sort of
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that would have been pretty hard to beat.
Yeah. I think she's getting a bit of belief about herself as well, because you know she's playing with the top FPO now and like basically in for the win almost every event now.
Yeah.
And so I think she's just been like, well, why can't it be me? Like, I know I'm older, but like, and I'm tiny, but I can do this.
Yeah. How weird is it, a forehand form though? It's bizarre, just, isn't it? Like that choppy forehand, but it seems to work for her. She's really like predictable and effective with
it. That's what's killing her arm though, I feel like. It's like,
yeah,
she's on these max overstable destroyers probably, just as hard as she can on a 45 degree angle. And like, I don't know. Hopefully the time off gets it back to normal, but she might need to figure something out.
I'm not his biggest fan, but should tell you who I think's had a sneaky good season. Adam Hemmings. I feel like he's stepped up a category from like maybe like between C and B tier to like between B and A tier. I feel like he's getting to a level now where you feel like he's challenging at quite a few events now. Like he's on the
But like a few seasons ago, when he and Calvin had that epic playoff, and they're each making like 60-70 footers just back to back, like that season it was like, oh, Adam Hammes is the guy, and like he felt like a top tier guy, and then for the last couple of seasons he hasn't.
No.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising to me, but also it's like, oh, okay, now you're back, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the difference is, but you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
it's been a good season of disc golf, to be honest with you. A lot of drama,
yeah.
A lot of historical things have happened.
There's not been many tournaments where you've had a clear winner by five shots or whatever. It's always been like there's one shot in it, or it's gone to a playoff, or and that as a viewer, that's what you want to see, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of different people won on the FPO side, and but yeah, it makes me excited for next year as well. Like it's only going to get better, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, we're really seeing, which I know Paul Macbeth is annoyed by this, but the modern era, it's here, like, right? Like, you've got all these kids that know how to play at the top level, and it's no longer, like, the old heads that have just been playing for years.
Yeah.
It's like, now you have to kind of have physios and strengthening and all the stuff, you know? It's a proper sport now.
It's kind of bugging me, though, Josh, because all the good lads now are all like 10 stone when wet and like 6'6".
Yeah, it's annoying. But it's like being a pro basketball player. Like if you're not at least 6 feet, you're probably not going to play.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sucks because I am below average, I feel like. But I'm still taller than Dale.
My 8-year-old Layla's just surpassed Dale in height as well, so...
can we stop the show right there?
Okie doke. Perfect. Well done, Bowen.
I found out about it today, but like Mr. Know-it-all's known about it since August, apparently. UDisc have bought in ratings. Have you seen this, Josh?
Yes. I haven't seen it in action yet, but I did hear.
So, I've had it since like August.
You've been using it?
Well, not actively, but I've noticed that they've been on there.
Wait, so I should... wait a minute.
I don't have UDisc Pro, so...
Wait, but... Why is the rating 199?
I don't know the ins and outs of it.
What is that? 300... If over 300 is like a really, really excellent rating, 100 is like something, it says something like 100's the first sort of milestone as a beginner to try and achieve. 200 is to show that you're improving. And then getting to closer to or just over 300 or whatever is really good score.
It's like bowling.
Yeah.
You want 300's a perfect round.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. I shot a 199 today. I had a putter only round at Croydon. I just realized that this actually had a rating. I forgot. But that's my first one with a rating.
There we go.
What that's I don't cool. know about this rating thing is, do you get an average rating?
You get an average on your profile.
Do you?
I don't know.
No, that'd be interesting. Because I know you get round ratings, but I didn't know whether you got average ratings. So I shot... I've beat that, Josh. Well, it wasn't a putter-only round, but...
Yeah, I shot 5 over today.
The other week, we played... Me and Bowen, we played with Cole Heaton. And I tied Carl with a 3 over at QP. And that was a 205.
Ooh.
Was okay. that on blacks? Or was it blues? Remember.
You know what? I just shout out because I've played with Carl for the first time. And also played with Pete Foden for the first time. And man, I don't know. I beat Pete just barely. But I got beat by Carl. Straight up, without the handicap. But he's an excellent player in the woods, man. Like,
yeah.
Ridiculous. He's a top lad, Carl is.
He's a really nice kid as well.
I knew that going into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Carl's the type of person, I can't imagine anybody really having a bad word to say about him. Do you know what I mean? But when we first started playing, because I think we started playing around the same sort of time.
He's a vegan, so.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the one thing, yeah. Yeah. nobody's perfect, I guess. we started playing around the same sort of time. I was saying this, I think, to Bowen the other week, and like I felt like I could probably beat him like 9 times out of 10. Like I felt pretty comfortable beating Carl, and then I hadn't played with him for like about 6 months or so. Come back and I was like, fucking hell.
Who's
this?
I don't know what like, these people are doing.
But now it's like I played out my skin and tied with him, and like he didn't particularly play that well, and like I feel like he beats me 9 times out of 10 now, and like that was such a massive improvement in a short space of time.
Was it like for me? It was like I probably had more birdies on the day, but I had way more bogeys, and like he was just like clean and never messes up. Like really.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's so smooth with his throws.
Yeah, best and only Berg forehand roller I've ever seen in my life.
Intentional. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
I might have to work on that.
It's a bit of a unicorn shot, if you ask me, but he's got it. But yeah, nice. Anyway, just wanted to say, there's some good dudes out there.
Got a lot of time for Carl, so okie doke. So let's leave it at that then. We've had a couple of drops in the shop. We've just done another order now, so that'll be coming in the next week or so to stock up on some winter discs. And keep checking out in the chain shop. And like we said earlier, we plan on putting a Christmas episode out, which will be a bit of fun. I mean, all our episodes are pretty fun and like and talking shite, but this will be even more so. Keep an eye out for that. And from myself, just have a really good off season, and hope you're all well and come back stronger and happier and fresher for the next season. And it'd be good to see you next season. Anybody else?
Yes. Same again. Be good to see you all next year. Keep your eye out in the next couple of months for the UPO number 2. So we don't know the details yet, but I'm sure things will start moving in the next couple of months. So just keep your eye out for that.
Okay. Good check.
It's been a good year. Thanks for having me, guys, again. And
we haven't had you.
We don't have you.
Well, I know, but I feel honored.
We're all integral parts of the show. We don't have you. Don't look at it like that.
I'm humbled by your presence.
No, I'm humbled by your presence.
We've enjoyed your company, Josh.
Yes.
Well, I have anyway. I don't know about, but I don't speak
let the
though.
Door hit you on the way out, Josh.
So don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you.
On the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nailed it.
My granddad always used to say, "I think my bum's broke. It's got a crack in it." Oh, and on that note, keep it in the chains.
Keep in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Crack kills.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.